Glory to God. Amen. All right, let's get it straight or I won't be comfortable. Amen, amen. God is good, isn't he? All the time. I got so busy this morning, I forgot about my lapel mic. And okay, wait for it. Okay, I think we're good. Amen. We're trying new technology, so seeing how it works. Amen. Glory to God. Well, I got a lot to go over this morning, and so we'll see how far we get. I want to start a series of how to behave in the cave. I mentioned a little bit of that last week, and what we want to get to a point is realize that we don't have to stay in the cave. And really, there's some guys in the Bible that spent some time in a cave, and so we're gonna see what they did to get out of the cave. Amen. And the cave was never meant for you to stay in all the time. Amen. So you might be thinking, man, what Pastor Tim's went and got crazy talking, just preaching on caves. Amen. But well, we're going to give you some scriptures to back all this up, and glory to God. But let's first, before we get into all that, we're going to first talk about David when he was in the cave. But before that, we want to build a foundation of where we're going with this here. And so first, let's get a definition for a cave. A cave is a natural underground void large enough for a human to enter, was one definition. And the other one we're going to use for our series here, some people suggest that the term cave should only be applied to captivities or cavities that have some part that does not receive daylight. And so a cave can be a hole, a cave can be in a mountainside, it's not particular, but a cave is something that you go into. And some people believe it can only really be a true cave if there's darkness in there, a place where you can't get light. And we're going to see where David, if we get there today, where David had 400 men, at least 400 men in a cave. So that was a pretty large cave. And so we realized that that probably did have a dark spot in there where there was no natural light. And so anyhow, but in our series that we're going to be talking about and ministering on here is a cave represents a dark hour, a struggle, a trial in your life that you face, and it seems void of light. Okay, a cave that we would face in the natural is a cave that is a type of a dark hour, a struggle, a trial in life that you face, and it seems to be void of light. And we're going to go through some of those and talk a little bit about those different caves and different things. And so, but the first thing I want you to realize is you don't have to stay in the cave. You can come on out. Amen. And it says in John 16:33, out of the New King James, and I'm going to read it out of the Amplified also, but it says, "These things I have spoken to you, that you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? Amen. He has overcome the world. And I really liked how the Amplified said it. It just amplifies it, obviously. It says, "I have told you these things so that in me you will have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you will have tribulations and trials, distress and frustration. But be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, undoubted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you and have conquered it for you." Amen. That's a good one there. But there's all different kinds of caves that we go into that we're in there and we don't even realize it for a while and we're there. And there's all different things that wants to avoid light, especially the light of the gospel in our lives. And sometimes it's just fear. Fear will hold you out of going anywhere. Fear will keep you from doing anything. My mother refused to fly on a plane because she feared the plane so much. Now, it might have been back when we were kids. They shipped us. they flew me and my sister to Arkansas from California. And back then, you could they had like little pool machines. You could buy life insurance at the airport. That made you kind of wonder, how safe is this airline? You can buy your life insurance right there. And if you lived through it, they could find it, and your whoever you left it to could get the money, I guess. But anyhow, they quit doing that, obviously. But anyway, a lot of times, and we've gone over before in the past the top 10 fears that people face. And that's kind of fun to go through and look it up on the internet, and it's a good one to go over. But fear will keep you in a cave of life. It'll keep you from exploring. It'll keep you doing God's will. It'll keep you from expanding your faith, because the opposite of faith is fear. Okay, you might be in a cave of discouragement, maybe failures or disappointments. Some of you may be in a cave because of fatigue, from trying to do good, trying to keep it up. And 2 Thessalonians 3:13 says, "But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing." Amen. And the best one, the most popular verse out of this is Galatians 6:9. "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Amen. The Bible is full of good reasons for good cheer. Amen. I like it. Jesus says, I know that in the world you'll have tribulations. Isn't it good that he told us that? He's very true on that. And you might say, "Well, I have never faced a tribulation, Pastor." Well, glory to God. Amen. But if you ever do, this sermon or this series might help you, glory to God, get through that and realize, I can get out of this thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Be of good cheer. I wrote this down. Be of good cheer. Be happy. Be joyful. Start rejoicing, because I've overcome the world already. Amen. Jesus has already overcome. You don't have to stay in the cave. But there are times, it seems like, in all of our lives that something comes along and it forces us to just hide out a little while into a place that we're not really comfortable with, a place that we really don't want to be at. But we're there, and we're going to look at some of those in that. But first of all, I want to get to God's side of this, of being in the cave. I want to tell you first thing, that it came to pass. When you're in a cave, a difficult situation in life, it has come to pass, meaning to go on, meaning to get rid of. Amen. It's not going to have to stay there. And the Bible says in Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away." Glory to God. Hallelujah. So sickness might come, but I'm here to tell you God's plan is for it to pass. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, there's all different things. There might be a financial failure that come upon your life, but you know what? It has come to pass. Amen. It's passing away. Glory to God. I know past means like it's happened to me, but no, it has come to go. Amen. You know, it's sad that it came. It's sad that we're going through it, but I'm not going to live there. I'm not going to stay in that cave. Amen. Somehow, some way, my God is going to get me out. Amen. And we're going to learn how to get out of the cave here in the next few weeks that I'm teaching. I know next week my wife's teaching, and then I'll do the next one, and then we'll see. And then we're off to St. Lucia for a couple weeks, and we'll be teaching to some of the two of the Bible institutes while we're there. So we're really excited, and to connect with all the leaders there that are in the Four Square churches, and we'll be helping some of the new Four Square churches to get established. They have to get it licensed and accepted just like anybody else does. So we're going to be helping some of the new pastors that want to bring their churches into Foursquare be able to go through what we call polity. Thank you. I was wanting to say benevolence. I said, ain't it right? Polity, and which is really the church government when we say polity. So really to teach them about polity and those things. And so we're excited to be able to meet some new pastors down there, and also be able to be checking out the Bible Institute that's been doing very good. Glory to God. And so it come to pass. And so the Bible gives us revelation, and it reveals to us who God is. From the beginning of Genesis all the way through Revelation, he tells us who he is. And by him telling us who he is, it tells us his character and what he does in his character. And so this is my next point I want to do as I'm building the foundation. I want to go through the Bible from Genesis to Revelations and just give you who God is. Of course, it'll be short version. Amen. Genesis 15:1 says, after these things, the word of the Lord came on Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abraham, for I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. Amen. Genesis 17:1-2, or I think it's just one. And when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. When Abraham thought it was endless, impossible, he says, I'm the Almighty God. Amen. I want to tell you, and I've said this many times before, God's never late. He might not be on your schedule, but his thoughts are higher than your thoughts. His ways are higher than your ways. Amen. Glory to God. And his way is full of the anointing, full of might, full of power. He's never wavering. Glory to God. I love that part. He don't waver. Exodus 15:26 says, if you delight and heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Amen. He's our healer. Deuteronomy 5:6. I am the Lord God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Amen. We don't have to be in bondage anymore. Isaiah 43:3. Some of these are full scriptures. Some are partial of them. I am Lord God. I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. He's our Savior. Isaiah 48:12, hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my call, and I am the first, and I'm also the last. Hallelujah. Isaiah 51:12, I am he who comforts you. Amen. He comforts us. Even in the midst of a cave, you can be comforted. Amen. It doesn't stop who he is. Jeremiah 9:24, but let him who gives glory give glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exceeding loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness on this earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Let's go to the New Testament. In John 6:35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. Amen. John 8:12. I know this is, I'm going kind of fast, but just jot these down and get them. They spoke unto Jesus again, saying, I am the light of the world, that he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Amen. We're talking about God's character. This is who he is. He's the light of life. He's the light. John 10:9 says, I am the door. By me no man enter, and he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pastures. John 10:10, the thief cometh not to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come to give you life, and life more abundantly. Amen. Glory to God. In other words, he is the life giver. He is the life giver. He gives abundance in this life. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Amen. John 14:6 says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father but by me. Amen. There's no other way to Jesus but through Jesus. Amen. There's no other way to be saved but through Jesus. Glory to God. A lot of people, there are several ways to heaven. No, there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ, accepting him as Lord and Savior, putting him on the inside. Glory to God. And we'll finish up with this one here, Revelations 1:8. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Amen. Now, these are just a few of the scriptures of God's character. In other words, God is good and the devil is bad all the time. Amen. And let me tell you what, these things that come to in our lives that want to force us to go into a cave, want us to kind of hide out for a while, that we feel like we can't go on, they have come to pass, because in Jesus' name you're coming out. Amen. So we have just went over. Whew, get my breath here. We have just went over God is your shield, your exceeding great reward. You're Almighty God, your healer, your Savior. He's the first and the last and everything in between. He's the comfort. He's full of mercy and merciful. He's exercised loving kindness. He's the bread of life. He's the door. He's the light in the world. He came that we might have life and life more abundantly. He is a good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. He is the way, the truth, and life. He's the Alpha and Omega. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. We know that God's character is good. Amen. Now I want to read to you a story that I found. And it was taken about 145 years ago. And it says, this country, meaning the United States, was faced people with a historic call called the panic. In 1873, baking industries failed, markets crashed, the ripple washed through the entire world economic system. Kind of sounds a little familiar, doesn't it, today, a little bit. We can't have our trust in the world, can we? The events of that year kicked off many years of depression, but during the same time, a focused inventor and businessman decided to open up a laboratory and begin work on perfecting a way to distribute power and light. The inventor was Thomas Edison, and his invention was the common light bulb. While everyone else was pulling back, Edison pressed forward. In the years that followed, he founded a company that brought light to the masses. The company General Electric is now one of the largest companies in the world, founded during a worldwide depression and weathered through the hardest economic storms, including the Great Depression in the United States in the 30s. This was a very dark hour in the history of the United States, but even through the darkest hour, amen, there's someone fighting against the darkness. Amen. Now, this was an inventor. This was Thomas Edison doing making the light bulb, getting electricity to your houses. Glory to God. But through all the hardships and the times that people were going through, he was saying, we're not going to stop. We're going to forge on. We're going to keep going. We're going to get this thing done. Glory to God. And he founded a company that is still going strong today. Probably not thinking the same company that it used to be, but it's still going on strong today. Amen. God wants you to let him control your situations. Amen. You know how you do that? You cast all your care upon him. Amen. Remember, when you get into a cave, when something goes on in a situation in your life, and you think, gosh, I didn't think I'd ever be in this spot. Start remembering who he is. We sang about it this morning. Miracle worker, way maker, light in the darkness. That's who he is. Glory to God. Amen. You start reminding yourself of who God is. And pretty soon you're going to have trouble just standing there feeling sorry for yourself. You're going to start preaching the word to the situation. And that situation is going to start moving because you're speaking some power into that thing. Amen. Remember that God's full of compassion and he wants to bring you out of every situation. Amen. Now that was the foundation. And that was supposed to have been last week, so we're doing two sermons in one this morning. So we kind of went through that there, but I hope you see that God's character is always good. God never wants you in the cave. God never wants you to be having to hide out. Now, there's times and situations you just feel like I got to back down just a little bit. And you know what? That doesn't mean you're going to stay there, though. You're going to come out. You're going to surge forward. You're going to break new ground. Amen. And so one of the guys that was in the cave was David. And we're going to spend more time on David than any of the other two characters, which was Elijah and Jonathan, Saul's son. And so we're going to talk a little bit about David these next couple times that I minister. And what he says about this, he gives us five things in the book of Psalms that'll help you come out of that state where you don't want to be into the state of victory, into the state of overcoming. Amen. He was hiding out in the cave. But he didn't stay there. And let me tell you what, he came out good. Glory to God. And so we're going to see how he does. Let's turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 22. And let's read there first. I'll let you get there. Excuse me. And it says here in 1 Samuel 22, 1 and 2, and David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. I believe I said that right. So when his brothers and all his father's household heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. Oh, that's the kind of church you want to lead. Amen. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. That's what I'm saying. That was a big cave. Now, let's look at these three words here: distress, debt, and discontented. Now, the word distressed, have you seen somebody who's been distressed? Very nervous, ready to blow up, don't know what to say to them, don't know how they'll react. Now, the ones that were in debt, I kind of pictured them hanging out at the back of the cave, because there could be no cell service there and the collectors couldn't call them. Well, maybe they didn't have that back then. But they were in debt. And in other words, a lot of times you had to give your kids up. A lot of times you had to go to debtor's prison. It was a bad thing to be in debt in those days. And in these days. And everyone who was discontented gathered to him. Everyone, I'm just kind of looking like this, they were complainers. They were Eeyores. Well, something bad's going to happen to me. It's going to happen in this cave. Well, I didn't think the floodwaters would get in this cave, but it did. Oh, I knew I picked the hardest rock to sleep on last night. I just don't know if we're going to make it here with this David guy. That's who David had with him. Man, what a challenge. What a great victory we're going to see. So, in distress, debt, and discontented surrounded David. It's like he didn't get a break from any or all three of them. But I want you to know this morning, God specializes in people and things that look impossible. Some of those people thought they would never get out of debt. Some of those people never thought they'd be happy again. And some of those thought that they would never live to see David as king. But you know what? They didn't stay in debt. They didn't stay distressed. And they didn't stay discontented. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 11. And we'll start with verse 9. 1 Chronicles chapter 11 and verse 9. Is this helping anybody this morning? I'm trying to just go slow and teach a little bit, but God don't want us staying where he don't want us to be. Amen? And so 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 9 says, so David went on and became great. What a success story. This little guy that started out at a young age killing a giant. And you know what really caused him the problem with the King Saul was all the people. They started singing. Saul killed his thousands, David killed his 10,000s. And that angered Saul. And that just caused a whole bunch of trouble for David. It says in verse 10, now these were the heads of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened herself within with him in the king in his kingdom, with all of Israel, to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Let me tell you what, just by these two scriptures here, those men that were distressed, in debt, and discontented were wealthy, happy, and warriors. Amen. These men were so successful and blessed that they joyfully contributed their vast wealth to the finances of help building the temple. Amen. God can bring you out of the cave successfully. And God wants to do that. Sometimes we face important caves in our lives. We just need to hear from the Lord. I'm not saying all things that go into a cave are bad. But if you stay there, you're not going to be doing anybody any good. Let's turn to Psalms 57. And here we find five important keys to successful behavior in a cave. Amen. So if you're going through something in life, we're going to pull out five things out of Psalms 57 that David wrote. And if you hear these five things in your life, you'll start seeing a more successful, an easier exit into things that would have been putting you in the cave. Amen. So let's start here with verse 1. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for my soul thirsts a thrust in you. And in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed away. I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all the things for me, and he shall send from heaven and save me. His reproaches, the ones who were swallowed me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is along the lions, and I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are spared, and the arrows, and their tongues a sharp sword. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me. Into the midst of it they themselves have fallen. My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praises. Awake my glory. Awake lute and harp, and I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you among the nations, for your mercy reaches unto the heavens and your truth unto the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be above all the earth. Amen. So there's five things, important keys, out of those 11 verses that will help us all the days of our lives when we find ourselves into a cave that either somehow we put ourselves in or it seems like we just got thrown in there. But God got a way out, and God wants us to be successful. And if we use these five keys, you'll come out of the cave every time. Successful. Isn't that a good word? All right, let's start with number one. Oh, I'm out of time. So, not that I'm on a time schedule, but I don't have time to go. So next time, I won't be ministering next Sunday. My wife will be here ministering. So I may switch Sunday for Wednesday. I'm not sure yet. So if she's still working on Philippians, so I don't know when she's going to get done with that. And it's been a good classes. But when I come back on the, I think it'd be the second, we'll get into these five things that will help bring you out of the cave. Five keys to success in how to behave in the cave. Can you wait with me? Yeah, you're going to have to wait. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment?